You are listening to our AMP Empower Hour call. Thank you for joining. And in a moment, we're actually going to join the call. I recorded it previously, so you're going to be hearing a recording. I want to thank you all in advance for listening. And also, if you have any questions during this call, write them down or shoot me an email. I'm here to help you. And now our April 4th call. With this week's topic, creating your niche and creating your customer avatar.
Hi there, and welcome. Welcome to the AMP call. And for those of you who are new, there's a lot of members actually on this particular call. So very excited indeed. So let me know what this is all about. Like, why are the calls happening? Why do we do this like every other week? And we do them to answer questions that you may have the program. So if you have a question going through, for example, this weekend we talked about our DC client, which is your desired client, and how really focusing in on those, clients, their needs, what they want, why are they even going and buying your products, and really looking into the deeper marketing aspect for those people. We want to be able to do the work that's going to help attract those particular right clients, those desired clients. We're also looking to really do this, and we haven't talked about the second part of it, and that's next week. The second part of it is really looking at your price bracketing. Once you look at all of your desired clients, you want to go ahead and start really working on pricing, what also is good for you, too. So a lot of the times I hear a lot from a lot of clients, they say something like, well, you know what, I sell this particular product or service, but my client is only willing to pay this amount. And when we get into that, this amount, they're only able to pay this amount, it's tricky. It's kind of like when you're going to buy something, so you're going to go buy a really nice, just a leather handbag. And there's different elements with that. There is, the faux leather that you might get. There's an actual leather. And then there's a designer leather handbag. Now, if the, medium selection there, the medium handbag is still leather. It doesn't have a name or it doesn't have a label on it. But it's just as good, looking at the value of all three. If you wanted a trend product, maybe the, fake leather handbag that you might get at H&M would work for a season. If you want this to be a bag that would be in your wardrobe for a very long time, like I'm always looking for like a nice leather hobo bag that's strong and it's going to take me for years and years. If I saw one that was a leather handbag that doesn't necessarily have the Gucci label on it, but it's gorgeous and beautiful, and I know it's real leather, I'm probably going to go with that just for the value. Now, if I want to up-level that idea and that concept, and I want to get this really gorgeous Napa leather, Italian, soft to the touch, I mean, it feels like butter. The lining is exquisite. There happens to be a Gucci label in it. And I know that this is not only going to take me my lifetime, but it might even be something that if I had children, they can use it. My daughter could use it. That might be a better value for people. So when you're looking at your customer avatar, you're going into the sense of what their belief system is, what their lifestyle is. Why are they connected with you in the first place? Now, my first connection with a lot of you was you reading short mini snippets of blogs, a microblog on Twitter. That may have led you to my website. You might have checked out my blog, read about me. I am essentially showing you my anthem, what I'm all about. And other people also call it Their Why, which is a great book by Simon Sinek. And it really explores what you're all about, what are your core belief system, what do you believe that you can give in terms of a value to a customer, and how you go forward with that. So let's just look a little bit deeper into that graphic that I sent you guys earlier this week. So I gave you a graphic that has a bunch of spaces that you can actually check out and see what your desired client is all about. One of the first questions I ask you is like general demographic stuff, like are you sounding to a male or female. You know, and this also could mean if you are a service provider and maybe you work with companies, who is the first person that you're going to be in contact with? If you're going to touch, you know, or contact the HR department, what does that HR representative look like and feel like? So you even might want to micro-focus that. I mean, we're talking about, we do also work with individuals. I mean, really, there's all types of different stripes here that signed up for AMP. There's, you know, doctors, there's writers, there's authors, there's, you know, service providers of any different type of sort. So think of it in terms of who is your first contact of who you're going to be working with. And that is how you're going to focus on your desired client. So if you are a service provider that is going to work with companies, I want you to focus this work to be around that first contact, whether it is in an HR director, and it can even be smaller than that. Sometimes we have to get through the receptionist. So what does that receptionist look like? What are their belief system to get you past the next thing? And I will tell you, I have plenty of years of experience, and sometimes we want to skip that receptionist, but sometimes we don't have, you know, that grace where we can. So we might have to include that a little bit in our avatar. Anyway, so think about who your first contact is and then build it from there. You might have a second avatar. You know, once you get through that first person, whether it's an HR director, what does the meeting room look like? Who is the primary focus in that meeting room when you're presenting? Who is that primary focus when you are freelancing and you have somebody in front of you? So think of it in terms of that way. So the first, one of the other questions is not only are, you know, is it female and male, you know, what's the age group? You know, one of the first boxes I have here is why have they had enough of their current job or career? Now, this is structured for me. I'm giving you an example of what my desired client looks like. I am a service provider, and I also teach people how to promote themselves in the social media realm. So this whole formula is actually for me, but you can tweak it. So if you're a wedding photographer, you might say, why are they looking for you in the first place? Well, you know, they're a wedding photographer. They want to hire a wedding photographer. And then you go down the line and in terms of when will they be needing you next? Well, maybe 9 months, they might have a child and you can reapproach them with a different offering. So this is really kind of giving an arc and a storyline to how you are going to create your relationship with this client. And the second question is, what do they want? What are their desires and wants? So we're going into a deeper thought of what they want. Now, this could be kind of different. It doesn't have to necessarily be related to business, but it could be, you know, what do they want in their desires and how they want to do it. It might be that woman that's feeling an empty nest syndrome. She's in her 50s, 60s. She wants to write a book, and she wants to be brilliant at it. So you can really define that that's her want. Or there could be an entrepreneur out there that wants to take their show on the road and do destination retreats that you'll be helping with. So think of it that way. So think about what they want. Why are they looking for you? What is the desire that they're tapping into that they seek you out in the first place? Next question is, what do they fear? You can go as deep as you want here. They can want to maybe quit their job and start writing full-time. Their deepest fear is just doing just that. How does that, you know, reflect their character arc in terms of what they're going to be going through? That can be, you can write as much as you want. I know that that's a short box, and I kind of give you boxes to write in. But, literally, you can type out the question and write paragraphs underneath. Really get in touch of what their fear is. The next question, why are they feeling stuck? This is key because when we're looking for an answer on the internet and they find you, they're looking for the value that they can use at that point. So if they're feeling stuck, what resolution, do you see where I'm going? What resolution can they find within you. So really focus in on what they're stuck. Maybe it might be an emotional block. Going to the next level is very scary, and maybe they're feeling that. So really think about what your client is feeling at that moment. What's their block? What are they feeling stuck, or why are they feeling stuck? The next box, what are they interested in? And the more that you can go into this question, the better you can write copy for, because it's just so true. I tend to, my first customer avatar was a single mom, a yoga instructor that just got her first space. And I really went into what are they interested in. And this woman that I had in my head, she went hiking. She liked shopping, you know, at farmer's market with her kid. She enjoys independent films, and I really went into every detail. She's single, she likes dating, but she's not really interested in dating. She's more interested in focusing on her career, and then, of course, she wants to definitely find that person. Do you see where I'm going with it? It's like being, like kind of making things up along the way, but at the same time, can I tell you how many female entrepreneurs that were yoga instructors that I helped? I mean, it was crazy, because it actually helps you. This exercise helps you write for that client that you're focusing on. So this work is really important in terms of the connection. You will connect with your client once you really dive into this. The next question, where do they live? Do they live in Los Angeles? Do they live in a beautiful town in Canada? Where do they live? Where are they? My person is global. She's generally the same sort of person I think of, except she lives anywhere in the world. She lives in London. She lives in Australia. She lives in New Zealand. She definitely lives in Canada, because I have plenty of beautiful Canada people that I'm working with. She lives everywhere and anywhere where she wants to boost her online presence. And she doesn't necessarily have the tools or the support to do that. So that's one of the things that I think about when I think of, you know, where do they live? How old are they? This is such a great question, because once you really go into how old they are, you can do a lot of work. Now, normally the customer avatar reflects our own age, but I want to put something out there for you, because I have women from age, I would say probably age 25, I wouldn't go younger, all the way to women that are in their 60s. I have a vast age difference here, and it's because I feel like I feel and connect with younger women, 20s and 30s, and then my contemporaries in my 40s, and then, of course, 50s and 60s, I feel really relatable with too, because I feel like once you hit 40, it's like you kind of float there for the rest of your life in terms of mindset. So I have a huge vast in age. If you want to be more specific and say she's in her 20s, she's in her 30s, or he's in his 40s, you can do that. I am very open to that age group for myself. And, of course, this has to resonate with you. What does that feel like? Do you want to just work with other women in their 30s? Then name it, call it. There's nothing wrong with calling out who you want to work with, and you don't have to apologize for it. It's who, you know, when you resonate with somebody, you're going to do your best work with them. If you feel like you won't resonate with somebody that's in their 20s or in their 60s, don't put that in your avatar. Because what happens is there's a huge gap and disconnect, and you're not going to be successful. And one of the main things that we have to practice consistently is when we grab our next client, this client is a potential testimonial. And it goes in, and also could be this client could be a potential bad review if you don't do the work in creating the right customer avatar. If you don't connect and you don't finish that project with them, they may put something online like, yeah, that person was a bunch of hooey, took my money, and we didn't get anything done. That's something that you definitely want to avoid. So it's really important to do the work in terms of creating the right avatar. The next question is, what is their living situation? This is so great, because we really can, again, we're coloring the character a bit. So, you know, what is a living situation? Does she live in a studio apartment in the city? Is she looking at the, or is she living in a cottage? Hi there, sorry about that. I think what happens is my voice has a pitch and it makes me go into a conference room, a different conference room altogether, so sorry about that. What I was saying about that one of the next questions we were talking about was the importance of knowing what their living situation was, you know, where they were at. You're able to kind of identify and connect with them a bit more when you're able to do that. The next question after that is, what do their days during the week look like? And that could mean, you know, do they have a 9-to-5 job Monday through Friday? Is she struggling to keep focus in her entrepreneurial task? That might be something that she does. And then she also, you know, hurriedly, you know, picks up her kid after school and then goes and performs a couple of classes. What does the week look like for your client? Really lay out a schedule. Think about it. Think about what they do. Also think about their energy level. What is it that they're depleting and what can you help solve in that same way? The last question is, what do their weekends look like? And this is really giving you a thought about what energizes them, what makes them happy, what do they do on their off hours? A lot of the time entrepreneurs don't have off hours, but when they do, what does that person do? Do they go on a hike? Do they go to the zoo? Do they go, you know, club hopping, you know, bar hopping? What is it that they actually do? Think about what exactly that mindset might be on the weekend. And also, this is kind of a way where when we have our time off, we also generally think about vacation time, what we want to do, how much money we want to have so we can actually have a great weekend. So think of all of those aspects in terms of what they want. And once you do this work, it's going to be easier to write the content for them. Your blogs are going to be very clear in terms of what you're going to be talking about. What are you going to touch on after doing this work? Once you start doing that, you're going to put the feeling surrounding what that feels like. They're going to gravitate to you like crazy. One of the other things, too, is once you're focused and you understand your client, you can also price them. So if your client has a moderate income, maybe your prices reflect that. If you only want to work with high-end clients, then you can think about how to do that. Like, I have two different business models altogether. I have AMP, which is what you're on now. And AMP is to really be a global reach for all entrepreneurs at any level in their business. So you can be that upscale client. You can be a client that's just starting out, or you can even be a student. It doesn't matter. This particular product reaches all scopes of finance. There is another product that I offer, and it's a mentorship product, and that is a higher-end product. And why? It's because it's designed to work with women that are ready to take their business seriously and at a different level. And that requires education, and education it lends itself to, you know, you need money. You need to have money in terms of learning, like the education. Or if you think about it, if you're putting a business model together and think about your own education that you had to spend on to achieve your level, that, you know, you're up-leveling your services, you're up-leveling your clients, so that has to reflect an up-leveled payment. And it's you know, it can be a little daunting, and again, you know, sometimes that conversation comes back in where my clients are only willing to pay this amount. Well, yes, the clients that you have right now are only willing to pay that amount. It's your job to shift that altogether. Do your client avatar work, focus on what it is that they're going to be doing, and go forward with that. So there is a money mind shift thing that goes with that. A lot of it has to do with just painting the picture of what your desired client is. Even if you have some clients now, I do have clients that, like, you know, they have particular amount of work with them, and they want to grandfather them in into a new either new sessions or new program. And sometimes those clients have to be left behind. You've done the service for them, and you want to continue the work, I suggest writing a book. If you write a book, that is accessible to not only all financial scales, but if it's the client that you want to gracefully leave behind, but give them value and give them knowledge, then definitely writing a book is great. And that book can also, you know, in turn, you can up-level that book and do a membership website with that. So there's a lot of different ways to elevate that offering. But if you think of layering your offering in a way that will be achievable for a lot of people, you know, that's also great too. But right now I really want to get to what the desire is and what you want to create with future clients. Maybe it's also a broader scale, like you're like, you know, don't want to work with 15 people a quarter. Maybe you want to work and reach hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. And, you know, again, there's your book idea. So you want to really, when you're doing this client avatar, think about what your business is going to look like with this particular avatar, you know, in place. So that's one of the things that, you know, I definitely wanted to talk to you about. And let me see here. Okay, so I have a Q&A session going on in this call, and what that means is that if you have any questions during the call, you can press *6 right now, and we can include you on the call. And I do have some. I do have one good question that I want to share with you guys from an AMP member. Let me just pull it up. Okay. It's funny when you have something pulled up and then, you know, live call, it goes away. Okay, here we go. So this is a new AMP member. Her name is Cassandra, and she has this great, really layered question that I wanted to talk to you guys about. So she starts off with saying, "Hi, Francesca. I have a blog and need someone who can make it more appealing. My question, can you suggest a company or a great software program to design the landing page?" I'm going to stop right there. She has more questions, but let's do that one right there. To design a landing page, one of the first things I do and I teach all of my mentorship clients when we start our work together is the first thing to do is to really look at the style that you like. I will say this, I'm going to be, it may seem a little negative, but it really is, it comes from a good place, I promise. There's a lot of websites out there that tend to look alike. And I'm going to use Marie Forleo as an example. She does marketing so well, so perfect, so wonderfully great, and she's done it for over 10 years. She's developed her own personality. It shines right through on her website, and anybody that's ever taken her class or knows about her or watches her on Tuesday tend to start to shift and go to the Marie Forleo route, and their personal identity is gone. Like, their website, including the type, the font, the color, everything but actually cutting out Marie's face and sticking it on their website is there. And I've been very purposeful in knowing that my websites look like me. They have my aesthetic. They have my favorite color palette. They have my favorite font. Everything about it is completely me. And I'm going to invite you to really look at personality-based websites that ring true to them. I like katenorthrup.com. It's NORTHRUP.com. She features her color, her favorite colors in there. She deals with money, which is great, but it's everything about it is very appealing to the eye, and it definitely has her own rhythm. Like, you can tell this is all about her. Look at websites that you dig that doesn't look like everybody else. Also, if you are, this is another thing that a lot of people get trapped in. We tend to hire web designers that you know, do the Marie Forleo websites, and then also people that are in her network, and then what happens is that starts to look, again, like somebody else's. So, another person I like is Erin Stutland, STUTLAND.com, E-R-I-N, yeah, Erin Stutland. So check that out. I also like Andrea Coulter, and she has a really good website. Let me just type it in. It really speaks to her personality, and it's holistic with a W, holistichealthcare.ca. holistichealthcare.ca, and you can see her total personality, what she stands for in her website. It looks very clean, which is something you want to do. Also, the information that you can grab from that website is very, very, you know, easy on the eyes too. So I also would recommend getting a website with a lot of white space. If you can get white background in most of them, it's easier on the eye, it's not confusing, and you can read through it much better. If you look at, there's another website I really like for just its tonality and how clean it is. It's, oh my goodness, I just blanked out. And I know that another one that I really liked, I'm trying to think of, I think it's, here it is. There's two, and it has daily in it. So the first one is dailycandy.com, which just announced that they're going away. It's my favorite marketing website of all time. In fact, it inspired me to go into marketing many, many years ago. Dailycandy.com, they're very visual. They have white space. They're very concise in what it is they want to hit in terms of focus. This is great for an e-commerce. If you have a product, this is a great structure. It really involves people in a conversation about style, and I love that about this. Another one is called dailyworst.com. It's a bit more conservative. It's about money, and they're very concise in the way they pull focus, and they use not so much appealing images, but they definitely use images to convey the feeling of what it is that you're going to read. And that's important. Overall, the website, any website that you choose, has to convey the feeling of the resolution of what it's going to be like when I work with you. So if I can get the remedy of what ailed me just by going on your website, you practically have that customer in your pocket already. So think of it in terms of that way. What you like, research that, and Cassandra, I would encourage you to do that, and when we have our private one-on-one, we can kind of go over the options together. I'd like to talk to you about more about that. Now, the company that I suggest, now I have a really amazing web designer, and she does also membership websites. She's doing my Hustle and Glow website, and she is phenomenal. And let me grab her info real quick. Her name is Natalie. And Natalie is in Paris. Isn't that great? Yeah, so, and she'll send me some videos with her beautiful French accent, which is amazing. So hold on, let me just trying to find. I did this on the fly, guys, so I'm sorry about that. Okay, I'm just trying to log into our Basecamp account together, so I can give you that information. She's worked with some heavy hitters. I think she's actually working with, oh my gosh, the guy that did the $100 startup right now, which is pretty darn cool. Okay, so let's see here. Let me go and type in her email. That might be easier. Okay. And I apologize, I don't have Natalie's last name. But she has a company. Oh goodness, that's a Gmail account. Can I get something a little more solid? Okay, so Natalie, N-A-T-H-A-L-I, and her address says, you know, Natalie from WordPress Help Club. Let her know that I sent you her way, and her email is services@wphelpclub.com. And she will be able to provide you with excellent service and a discount even. She's really affordable. When I started off this journey, I like doing a lot of stuff DIY and controlling costs. And she was highly recommended by literally a superstar. And I was like, all right, this is perfect. I'm going to go ahead and connect with her. And there's not one moment that I have been disappointed. It's just been up and beyond anything I could imagine. And she's very quick, too. So I would give you, you know, definitely check out Natalie. And Cassandra continues to write, I currently use Optimize Press. And it's a bit too involved, and I don't have enough time to design multiple pages, nor do I have the money to spend thousands on a flashy page. Yeah, I get it. Thank you in advance for your help. Okay, so I'm going to give you a DIY, quick and easy, dirty way to do it. And that is the infographic tutorial that if you haven't received yet, if you're a newbie, you're probably going to get that next week sometime. It is a wonderful way to really grab design that is your personal design and create infographics super quick on the fly, and you can do these images to coincide and live on your website. So if you check out mine, I actually wanted to test this idea out. My entire website, socialglobalgrind.com, and my other websites have this placement, this infographic design work is all me. And I'm not a designer. I aesthetically know what I like, which is you, right? You aesthetically know what you like. And I placed it in a way where I, you know, resonated with. So, seriously, it's not that hard. If you can scrapbook, you can do this. It's that simple. It's just about placement and sticking things there and having to play. It's like when I was a makeup artist and people would ask me, oh, I really wish I could do what you do. I would tell them the same way I learned was, I didn't have to go out. I just did makeup when I was watching TV on myself with a hand mirror. And all of a sudden, I really understood what worked. It's that same thing. If you can play on Pinterest, you can definitely play using this infographic model. And it will show you how to use it. It's so simple. And the tutorial I have is pretty easy to follow along. It's something that I think that you should explore for sure and check to see if this is something that you would like to do. A lot of people get obsessed. As soon as they start to learn this process, they get obsessed as they would in Pinterest. Once you start flipping through, you know, images that you really like or tutorials that you really like, and then it opens up a new board, and then you're lost in that, and it keeps continuing. It's very similar in the way that you create images. And even if you have this infographic tutorial and you haven't done it yet, again, no pressure, all in your pleasure. Do it when you don't have to do anything. I mean, literally, you can take your laptop, go to your coffee shop, have a latte on Sunday, and just play with it. All of a sudden, things connect. When you're in a state of play and you kind of introduce yourself to new technical things, this always, always helps. So I want to introduce that thought for you. You can totally do it. You can DIY it yourself. Of course, if you need extra work, any of you, just let me know specifically what you need, and I have a resource in my team that can actually help you create something like that if you're just stuck and you don't feel like any of those can happen. I do have a design team that you guys can access as well. Just let me know. Just press reply or, email me. Definitely let me know, and I'll be there for you. So that is Cassandra's question. Let me check to see. Kind of a short, I had a lot of notifications that people cannot be here because they're on vacation, and I remember spring vacations. Yeah, it was great. So, okay, so last chance for hitting star 6 on any additional questions that anybody may have. And we'll go ahead and give that a moment. You hit star 6 if you have a question you want to be on the call. There's quite a number of you here, so let's see. So I guess I got all the cute introverts today, which is cool. And if you don't know me yet, I'm an introvert, if you can believe it. I'm definitely an introvert. I need that downtime, that quiet time, all of that. So it looks like no one else is going to be talking on this call. So I want you to continue to do the work on the avatar. It may, you know, after you're listening to this, you might have to change things around and think about what would actually work with you. That's cool. And you know what? Every time I do a different model or a different offering, I strip away the old avatar and I work fresh again. So I shared with you what my first avatar is or was. That single mom, the yoga instructor, she evolved. She turned into a professional woman. She's also turned into a woman that's in her, oh gosh, I don't want to say midlife because I hate that word, but the transition. Sometimes women go through a different transition where they're in divorce. They're rethinking what they want to do in their pleasure. A lot of that happens when you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s. You start thinking about what you really want to pursue because that youth factor and that when you are younger, you tend to give yourself more room to experiment. What I do is I encourage women in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond to be in that space where you can experiment. The more you're in that space of experimenting what you desire, what you want, you can claim it. You're stronger than you are in your 20s. You know you have relevance, and you also know you have duration and all of those wonderful things that happen in an older age group. You also stand very firm in who you are. That's the time. That's the time when you want to evolve that thought and think about what you want to do. So that might also mean that your avatar is going to change in perspective. If you imagine doing avatars in your 20s and now you're in your mid-30s, how does that avatar look like? It's probably totally different. So I want to invite you guys to really look at that and then share your successes on Facebook. You can also, if you want to not really publicly talk about something, you know, email me. I'm here for you for sure. And it's cool. You don't always have to share on Facebook. I think I attracted a lot of introverts on this on this sales cycle, which is cool. That means I'm just hanging out with my own people. In the meantime, I'm here for you, and I'm going to end that call on this note. I will all talk to you later. Our next AMP call is going to be on Thursday. Thursday, April 17th, and we're going to shoot for 1 p.m. So, yeah, we got an AMP call scheduled on April 17th, 1 p.m., and I will love to hear any questions you have from that point. Also, too, the more questions you have, the more that inspires me, and I actually make a video about it to actually answer your question, which would be pretty cool. I need you guys to inspire me more, so I'd love to give you more and more content as this progresses. So thank you so much for being on the call, and I will talk to you later. Bye for now.
I hope you enjoyed this call as much as I have. I really love connecting with all of you, and your questions are always amazing. So keep them coming, whether it's on the Facebook group or in email. Let me know how I can help. I'm holding digital space for you. Can't wait to connect on our next call, which is April 17th at 1 p.m. Thursday. Talk to you later.